We'll talk some Lions coming up in about 20 minutes. Will Brinson, our buddy, joining us in just a few minutes. All right, a little background. His video pops up, and then it was him walking out of the room that he was in.
Yes.
So there you go.
So, oh, very, very good.
Back in.
Yeah. I love this.
We'll get him
it's
coming
so good.
Up. It's in a few minutes.
Sorry.
We're doing Will Brinson on X. So that's hilarious. The video pops up, and all I do is see you walking outside of the room for a quick moment. How you doing, man? It's been too long. Ah, he doesn't hear us. Damn.
All right, there we go.
Are we good now?
What's up? Sorry.
No, man, all good. So, yeah, obviously, people have been listening to you for years, whether it's on the network or your various podcasts, following you on social media. You're a big better. But in addition to that, have you got everything finalized? Like, what are you doing this year? Contest-wise, are you done with that, joining all that? Are you doing a bunch of fantasy teams? Like, what are you into now?
I was live coming on that, coming on with the AirPods. Sorry about that. A little technical difficulties around the house today. I've got, a Circa Millions contest I'm doing with, two friends of mine, a buddy from home. And, I don't know if you guys know Link Calhoun, a good buddy, a good friend of mine. We're going to do a Circa Millions this year. Got a bunch of Survivor stuff. I'll probably be in your Survivor. Are you going to do your Survivor again, Joe?
Yeah. Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Well, I'll be on that. I usually do that. It's easy. It pops up on my app. So I'm like, yeah, I'll jump in. I'm terrible at a Survivor. Don't pick the Bengals week one. I think that's the easy lesson. They stink in week one under Zach Taylor with Joe Burrow. Got a new one that's popped up for college football that I'm about to do. That is, I've never seen before, and it requires no skill. So I'm not suggesting that anyone do it, but it's like Super Bowl squares. It's squares before the full season, and it's for Saturday Night Football. So every Saturday Night Football game, you get assigned a different set of squares, and the one that we're doing actually, so there's 100 squares, and there's I think it's like $500 a square or something like that. And it's, but 50 of the, there's two different pools. The one we're going to do, there's 50 squares that are paid for and then 50 squares that are completely blank. And if it lands on a blank square, so like Clemson LSU week one, nobody lands on like a square that's not bought. That then rolls over to quarter one of week two. And so like you can end up with like rollover to the point where something cashes really big. So, those are kind of the contests that I'm in right now. Obviously, fantasy and, season long picks and everything. I mean, the usual set of contests, adding some rollover lottos and that Circa Millions this year, which I'm excited about.
I told Joe, I don't know why I am the way I am. That's not what I told him, actually. I told him something else. But as I was talking, I don't know why I am the way I am. I'm going to find myself in one of my Survivor pools on the Raiders to beat the Patriots. And I'm well aware the Raiders are a 3-point dog. But if I hear one more person say the Patriots are a sleeping giant, I'm going to bet even more. I'm going to bet Raiders money line. I'm going to do Raiders teasers. I can't get around this Patriots hype.
Okay. I was talking to a buddy of mine, and I just had – this is like probably 3 weeks ago on radio in Raleigh. And he's like, I think I'm going to take the Patriots as a sleeper team to make the playoffs. I was like, all right, that's like not, insane. Drake May takes a step forward. Mike Vrabel coaches him up. And I think Vrabel's a really good coach. And I was like, it's probably, and I just hadn't looked at it, right? Like in a week or so. So it's like maybe like late July or something like that. I was like, I guess the Patriots are probably like 3-1 to make the playoffs. I saw -120 to make the playoffs for the Patriots. Is that right? Did I misread that? That is an insane number. That is suggesting that the Patriots are more likely to make the playoffs than not make the playoffs. Drake May is a really good quarterback. He flashed a lot of stuff. Like he's an incredible athlete. I watch him a ton at Carolina, obviously. I mean, I'll tell you this. I think his performance in the pros already may be more impressive than what we saw from him in college against some of the better teams. Maybe that's a Mac Brown thing. Maybe that's a coaching staff thing from Carolina. I think he has the upside to be, you know, a Pro Bowl caliber quarterback. I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that the Patriots are a lot better this year because of a massive coaching upgrade. But like, you're playing for a wild card out of the gate because you're not good. You're not better than the Bills. Like, you're just not better than the Bills. So you're fighting for three spots. And oh, by the way, I know the Chargers lost their left tackle, but there's like, you know, three really good teams in the AFC West already. You've got two really good teams in the AFC North in the Bengals and the Ravens, add in the Steelers, who are clearly shoving all their chips in the middle of the table this season. I think teams in the South are improved. And so like, I think it is wildly out of whack to see the Patriots with that number. And let's not forget, Sam, this is a Pete Carroll revenge game. Pete Carroll comes in revenge game. The Patriots fired him. Revenge, Pete Carroll revenge game out of the gates. He's going to have a healthy Ashton Jeanty. He's going to have he's going to pound the football on these guys. And if they can't slow, if Jeanty, like that first preseason game, like 3 carries, 1 yard or whatever it was, people are like, oh, well, it might stink. No, like he looks awesome. He's going to be great. I think the Raiders offense is going to be way better than people think. And is there like a revenge angle with Chip Kelly and Mike Vrabel, or am I overthinking that? They didn't coach together at OSU, did they? I don't think so. But anyway, I think Chip Kelly, this is a big season for Chip Kelly. Like, do you want to talk about like if the Raiders surprise? I would rather bet on the Raiders to make the playoffs than the Patriots, I think.
I agree.
Woo! All right, good stuff. Today, we're previewing the Detroit Lions. They're a team that if you look at the betting market, the win total is still very high. But like, if you look at the make the playoffs and miss the playoffs, like, whoa, betting market's still not as hot on them in recent years for obvious reasons. The coaches certainly to start. Where are you on Detroit this year?
I think Detroit's a really nice buy low. And I'm not sure what our current number at BetMGM is for the for them to win the division. And it's a really tough division. Don't get me wrong. Packers are a good team. Vikings have Kevin O'Connell, who's one of the five best coaches in the league. And J.J. McCarthy could be a – I don't think he's like an MVP sleeper, but I think he's, you know, like it wouldn't shock me if – I mean, heck, Sam Darnold was 4 weeks into the season. We're talking about Sam Darnold MVP. So, like, why can't J.J. McCarthy be in that way too early season mix? I think a really nice look – and we got those numbers up now. Thank you, guys. Plus 145 to win the division. Like, I mean, yeah, I'll take that all day. I mean, this is – even with the loss of the two coordinators. Now, remember, the coordinators are great. That's awesome. Ben Johnson is an incredible play caller. You still have the guy who hired him in Dan Campbell, the guy who picked the coaches who became good coordinators with the talent that he had. And I realize a little attrition on the offensive line. Like, I get it, but it seems a little similar to me to the Bills and the Chiefs over the past couple of years, where people are kind of like, well, you know, you get this brain drain, something's going to happen, and it's going to see a fall off. I think there's a pretty good – not only would I bet the Lions to win the division at plus 145, I think that's good value because they're, you know, you're getting a plus number. I think if you parlay the Lions with the Chiefs and the Bills to win their respective divisions, you end up getting a really good number. And – like, I think the Chiefs and the Bills to win the division as a parlay is one of the best bets of the year. Like, for whatever reason, the Chiefs are just not priced. Like, they have Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid for the third or fourth straight year. I don't get why we're insisting on this. Yeah, the Chargers could jump up and be awesome because they have Jim Harbaugh and Justin Herbert. They just lost their left tackle for the year. That's kind of a big deal. One of their top runners – and oh, I love Amari Hampton. I mean, I got a future on him to win Offensive Rookie of the Year. But, like, Najee Harris had to be practiced with the team, right? So this backbone of this Harbaugh offense, that run game, is already suffering in that regard. Yeah, the Broncos have Sean Payton and Bo Nix, and I mean, it's like probably the greatest collection of coaches in one division ever. You still have Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. It's a great price. I think if you pair that with the Lions and the Bills, you're going to get a really nice parlay look and a juiced up number that basically is just asking the Lions to win their division at a number that's better than 145. Or if you want to even just go Bills and Lions, you know, like tack that on, you're going to juice up that number a little bit so you're getting a better return. I think the Bills are a slam dunk to win their division.
Over under on touchdowns for Cam Ward is 18.5. touchdown passes. That seems light, doesn't it?
Yeah, that seems a little low. It's 2025 and we have 17 games being played. I mean, that's like, I mean, maybe this is like Will Levis hangover. I don't know. That's weird. Like, I mean, I get that the Titans weren't, very good. I do expect the offense to be substantially better. This is a guy that's like, you're the number one pick. No matter how it goes, barring injury, you're going to play 17 games. You're going to see, that means you just have to, basically average what, like 1.25 for, I mean, even less than that, right? Like 1.1 touchdowns per game. I mean, 1.2 touchdowns per game to get to, and I realize you can't throw 1.2 touchdowns in a game, but like you have to average 1.2 touchdowns per game. You get one bad defense. You got 2 weeks against the Jacksonville Jaguars secondary too, by the way. And I know Travis Hunter's awesome, but like he's going to be playing wide receiver a lot too. I mean, this is I would be looking at the over on that. I think it's a team that could easily be trailing in a lot of games. They'll want to run the football as much as they can because, that's what you do with a young quarterback. But this guy's going to have to throw. He's got some decent weapons. He's got a live arm, loves to scramble around and make plays, isn't afraid to force the ball down the field. Now, that results in some, like in Miami, like you saw some really bad turnovers and really bad spots, but you also saw some electric plays down the field. And you're getting a couple of games against bad secondaries. You're getting a team that's probably going to be trailing because, look at, they're almost 8-1 to win a terrible division, not terrible, but like a lower tier division. That's a team that should be throwing a lot more, and Cam Ward should see a lot more looks than that, especially if they're, loading up the box and forcing them to throw in the red zone. I like that over a lot. Yeah.
With Will Brinson, Betsweats, Joe O, Sammy P, talking NFL, of course, and Will, a bunch, this happens every year in the league, where you get these surprise teams. And last year was Minnesota win total 6.5. They blow through that. Washington was 6.5. Denver was a surprise team. People didn't know that they had the quarterback. Sean Payton got his dude, at least for right now. What is your surprise team for 2025?
I actually liked the Broncos last year, so good on me for being on the Broncos. But I'm a Sean Payton stan. So like, I think when you look at you get that sort of coaching, and I'm always going to be intrigued by it. I think that the way to look at this is, if you're going to attack a quote unquote surprise team, I think you probably want to look at divisions that are a little bit thinner. In terms of, let's say the NFC South, the Buccaneers are a very good team, and I wouldn't be surprised at all if they won the division, but they keep winning the division with 9 wins. They keep doing that, and they keep doing it in a way where they start slowly. So a team like the Carolina Panthers with a win total, I think you can get like 6.5 minus 130, right? And I'm not saying Carolina's going to be great, just as an example. I think the Falcons are kind of intriguing too with like 7.5 over minus 140 I see out there. I want talented, highly drafted, highly skilled young quarterbacks who are sort of being undervalued in weaker divisions. So the other team I'd probably look at is the Jacksonville Jaguars. You have a coaching upgrade. You have the addition of Travis Hunter, who in theory is a first round pick on both sides. It's crazy to me that if you're a if you stand Trevor Lawrence in 2025, you're kind of it's not an island, but it's like a small little village, right? Like most people root against Trevor Lawrence succeeding. And I think when you have Brian Thomas and Travis Hunter that you're throwing to, and, Michelle Tootin has been good, had some issues in maybe pass pro, but you have Tank Bigsby, who we'll see if he's in there. And then Travis Etienne, who's also undervalued. I think there's a decent chance that this offense is top 10 in the league. And if that's the case and the defense improves at all, thanks to Travis Hunter, then you have a real case where the Jaguars could, and I love the Jaguars odds to win the division. You have a real chance the Jaguars could be closer to a 10-win team and pop up as sort of, and we saw it, right? You get Urban Meyer, disaster season. Doug Peterson comes in, and I realize they were struggling the first half of that year, but an improvement in coaching led to the Jaguars winning the division and being sort of a team the following year that everybody thought could make another big leap. And it, of course, it didn't happen. I think 3-1 for the Jaguars to win the division, you're getting plus 310 here at MGM, is a great number. Houston could win the division, wouldn't surprise me. I don't think Houston's going to win the division with 12 wins. I think Jacksonville can go out and win 10 games and steal that division. And at 3-1, I'm a big fan of that. So I would say the Jaguars, Panthers, and Falcons sort of profile as teams that, you know, were in that middle tier, lower tier that could take a leap up.
Good stuff. Will Brinson at Will Brinson over on X. Will, appreciate it. Can't wait to talk to you throughout the season, all right?
Yeah, guys. Talk to you soon.
Good stuff from Will. And let's continue to talk about the Detroit Lions a little bit. Jim Costa from 97.1 The Ticket in Detroit is going to drop by next. This is Joe O. Sammy P. Bet Sweats, the BetMGM Network. Joe O. Sammy P. with you weekdays 9 a.m. to noon Eastern Time right here on the BetMGM Network. The countdown to kickoff team featured today, the Detroit Lions with a win total of 10.5, a Super Bowl contender. They are the second favorite in the NFC, only behind the Philadelphia Eagles. So to get an insider's perspective, we bring in Jim Costa from 97.1 The Ticket, Jim Costa _ over on X, and he's got the Cash the Ticket podcast and Odyssey sports betting podcast. How you doing, Jim?
Boys, doing great. Cannot wait for football season.
You got your Lions blue on too, baby. You're ready to go.
Let's go. let's do it.
So we told you during the break, Joe and I had a little debate, and debate's maybe the wrong word. It wasn't like an argument, but it was a conversation about how John Morton is going to use this backfield. And obviously Ben Johnson leaves Detroit, goes to Chicago. He used Sonic and Knuckles accordingly, Gibbs and Montgomery.
Yep.
Is that going to be the same case this year? Or are they maybe going to lean more on their young stud 23-year-old back, Jahmyr Gibbs?
Look, at the end of the season last year, Gibbs was running as well as anybody in football. And he's a guy that you could argue should have just all the touches. But this team's playing for a Super Bowl. And I do think they're going to be mindful of managing touches. You know, John Morton has come out and said the five best guys are going to play skill positions. So that might mean some looks where both are on the field. But I do think they're going to make sure to get Montgomery in there to spell Gibbs and keep his workload in line, because they know they're not playing for 17 games, right? They're playing for 20 games. And I think you're going to see that in how they manage Gibbs' workload this season. Because if they took the governor off him, all bets would be off. I mean, I think the guy could lead the NFL in all-purpose yards for the season.
The touchdowns is what really intrigued me, because even in limited time, missing a few games the last couple of years in Detroit, like, look at David Montgomery and 13 touchdowns, 12 rushing touchdowns. The number's down to 8.5 for this year. Do you still think he's going to be the guy inside the 10?
Well, he's the more physical back of the two, but it's going to be riding a hot hand. And I mean, some of this is, and we can get into it, will the Lions offense be as video game-esque as it was a year ago? I mean, it was on another level, numbers rivaling the greatest show on turf. Do you really project that year over year over year? I think some of that's baked into the regression on the number there.
This road schedule is unbelievable, combined with the fact that you're playing in primetime like every other week. This was a team last year, and Joe and I had talked about this in the summer. We liked the Lions last year over the win total, things like that, because they played two games outdoors. That's not the case this year. I mean, league did them no favors, buddy, on the schedule. That's for sure.
America's Lions, baby. Everybody can't get enough of this football team, so they're cramming them into all the big primetime spots. And to your point, almost all of them are road games. So they'll play all the heavy hitters except Buffalo, and the games are on the road. So it's Kansas City at Arrowhead. You're going to Baltimore early in the season. Philadelphia and the Commanders, who ended their season a year ago. Those are road games on the schedule. Cincinnati in the first half of the season. They're going to play Joe Burrow on the road. So, yeah, I mean, this is a jam-packed, loaded schedule. And I know locally in Detroit, we love it because it's measuring sticks, right? It's a chance to measure up as they try to win a Super Bowl. But from an odds maker standpoint, hard to see 15 wins again. As crazy as last year was with all the injuries, we had those pinch-yourself Mondays. They won again. They won again. Certainly don't see 15 wins this season with that schedule.
Yeah, you could say that about other teams in the division too. Minnesota, like, there's just no way that we got a 14-win team. We got a 15-win team. It just can't happen again. Before we flip it over to the defensive side, I want to hit on the O-line. Probably not talked about enough that this has been the best offensive line in football. And now Ragnow's gone. And it looks like you're going to have a rookie starting. How are things looking over in camp, and what you're hearing about this offensive line with so many new coaches?
Yeah, as a Lions fan, it is the thing that keeps me up at night, is what's going to happen on the interior of this offensive line, because it is very much the engine of this team. It's what sets up play action pass. I host mornings with John Jansen, former offensive lineman, and he has given the numbers. Between runs and play action pass, it was 75% of the plays for the Lions. It lets that young line fire out, and it sets up Jared Goff to be that insulated pocket guy and go through his reads. If there's a breakdown up front, Goff's not beating anybody to the outside. The offense would take a big step back. As for what's going to happen, they're going to play Graham Glasgow at center. They made that determination very early in camp. He's a veteran. He's played left guard. He's played right guard. He's played some center. He's going to be the guy at the middle of that line. He'll go through the protections. I think that makes sense. Tate Ratledge, who they took in the second round out of Georgia, is going to play the right guard spot. He's a rookie. And Christian Mahogany, who they really like as a day three pick from the previous draft, has one career start, kind of a dirt bag, good offensive line mentality. He's going to play the left guard spot. So that's one total start between the two guards. Hank Fraley, one of the best O-line coaches in the NFL. The goal is they got to be where they need to be when they got to be there. So January, December, January, and February, that's when you're going to find out if they've got the pieces to do it.
I vividly remember looking at Our Lads last year, which is what Joe and I use for depth chart, ourlads.com. And there was a game last year. Obviously, Hutch was already hurt. But then they had five of the starters in red, which is not good.
I know.
Like, Jesus. Like, everything just fell apart. Is five starters in red good? Answer, no. I guess the simple question is this defense healthy? Question mark.
Well, it's a lot healthier than it was. And let's start with Aiden Hutchinson, who he said he had a moment in practice and training camp where he had a leg whip around and hit him, kind of like last year when Aleem McNeil's leg ended his season, and he popped right back up. And he goes, I got a steel rod in there now. And the coaching staff, Kelvin Shepard, the new DC, says he looks even better than a year ago. And keep in mind, guys, he had 7.5 sacks in 5 games. And he's a guy with 21 sacks his first 2 seasons, and he was on pace to have one of those historic seasons. He's a problem. He could win Defensive Player of the Year. And they didn't have him at all for the second half of the season last season. They will be without Aleem McNeil for the first half of the year. They're targeting, we're thinking, around Thanksgiving. Will he be 100%? Maybe not. But he's a key cog in the middle of their defensive line. But the secondary is probably the strength of this defense. Between Kirby Joseph, who led the league in interceptions a year ago, Brian Branch, who's that Swiss Army knife, right? They can play him in the deep safety center field. They can bring him off the edges of blitzer. He wreaks havoc in the run game, going out into the flats. That's a good safety duo, as good as any in the NFL. And while they lost Carlton Davis, DJ Reed comes in to be the number one corner. And they're very bullish on Terrion Arnold, who they took in the first round in Detroit, the draft last year, 2 years ago now. And he got baptized in the fire. He played the most man coverage snaps of any corner in football. The thought now is he will take that leap that they projected. Big corner, likes to talk, got that swagger to him. But he would be the number two corner on this team. And Amik Robertson, an underrated nickel. Everybody plays sub packages now. The strength of this team is probably the secondary, but with Aiden Hutchinson being that fire breather, that flamethrower off the edge, the expectation is Detroit's going to be a lot better on defense.
With Jim Costa, 97.1 The Ticket in Detroit. This is Bet Sweats, Joe O, Sammy P. A lot of conversation. We already hit on Ben Johnson, swapping him out for John Morton now. What about on that defensive side? Yeah. What's the loss of Aaron Glenn going to mean to this team? And what are we projecting with Kelvin Shepard getting that promotion?
Yeah, he's a high-energy guy, Kelvin Shepard, and he's a promote-from-within guy, so they're not going to change too much of what they do. But I don't want to minimize what losing Aaron Glenn means. I mean, we'd have these debates locally on radio about, you know, people wanted him fired at certain points when the defense was underachieving, but he really held it together last year with duct tape and glue. I mean, when you don't have a pass rush, and they added Za'Darius Smith at the deadline as kind of their number one pass rusher, you know, they had to get creative with blitz packages. And are you going to beat elite quarterbacks with it? I don't know. But they did what they had to do to week in and week out, put a game plan together and give themselves a chance. And install week in, week out, it's just an unknown with Kelvin Shepard. I think people here are excited about him taking over that role, but it's an unknown.
I think there would be some people that would be very quick to say that teams like the Lions, teams like the Browns, teams like Jacksonville, and we saw this with Bortles against Brady. They got there, but then they never got back. And I think it's fair. You might not want to hear it in Detroit, but it's fair. What's the thought process around the organization of they were the number one seed, they had a home game, they had home field, and they lose to a rookie? what's the psyche like right now around the team of just like, we did all these great things and then it was over like that?
Well, I just first say you're not breaking news to us, because when they lost the NFC title game to the San Francisco 49ers, Dan Campbell was the one who said that might have been our best shot. And that's a tough thing to tell a fan base who thinks we're just getting started, right? That was the surprise rocket ship to the moon. We got a 17-point lead on the road NFC championship game. People were thinking about Super Bowl in Vegas, buying tickets. When you lose that game, you go back to work, you win 15 games, and you still don't get to the Super Bowl. Not only that, you have five turnovers and lose to a rookie quarterback. It does mess with you. You know, and you do wonder, like, how many cracks at this are we going to get? Now, the nucleus is still intact. And if you look at the salary cap sheet, nucleus should be intact this year, and they'll have to restructure Goff, but probably next year as well. But you only get so many cracks at this. And I think the team is keenly aware of that. And I think there is an urgency to get it done. And I know they're motivated by it.
You going over or under 10.5 wins?
You guys help me out with this. 10 feels low. And I feel like they should, even with a step back, win 11, 12 ball games. I'd go over. I mean, I'd take them to win the division. Dan Campbell, 17-3 in the division the last 20 games. Even with a tough schedule, I would expect this team to clean up in division. Went 6-0 last year. Pencil them in for 4 or 5 wins in the division. I think they're an 11-12 football team.
So wise guys like the under, but wise guys also like the under last year, and they won 15. Wise guys are not always right. No. I think people just look at that schedule, Jim, and say, well, they're going to lose this and they're going to lose that. Look, my thoughts on the Lions are sort of – go ahead.
I want to give you a note on the schedule, because we've hit the point – we even hit it this morning. And I said, I know you guys have heard us bring it up, but you know the gauntlet. Rest edge. This is a little geeky. You guys may have seen it when the schedule came out. The Lions have the best rest edge in the NFL, and I believe it is the best since 2002. So for a team that plays a grueling brand of football – the idea that I'd get an extra day here, an extra day here, 2 days on a week there, that could make the difference in stealing a game that ordinarily you go, I don't like their chances on the road. So I don't think that part's being discussed enough with this team's ability to navigate the tough schedule, is having a better rest advantage than the teams are going to play.
I have no issue with them facing a tough schedule. That's a playoff team, assuming relative health. I think in some way this schedule prepares them to potentially finally knock some of these dominoes down. I would rather, as weird as this might sound, I would rather bet them to win the NFC at plus 550 than go over the win total, because they could go 10-7 and go to the Super Bowl.
Absolutely. And if you look at the back half of the schedule, it sets up for them to rattle off 6-7, play their best ball, and do what the Eagles did last year, which get red hot late in the season and then take people's heads off in the playoffs.
All right, we got to squeeze in a little bit of Michigan before we let you go, Jim.
Sure.
What are we thinking? Is it a big bounce back season? The win total, it was juiced to the over earlier in the offseason at 8.5. A lot of people seem to be in on them. I'm one of them. Now that gets bumped to 9.5. So are they going to take that jump in conference?
Yeah, it's tough. Like week 2, Norman for a freshman quarterback on the road at night. You think, I don't know if they're going to win that game. And then to hit over, I got to win all but one game the rest of the season. They do have trips to Nebraska, who I think is another one of these teams looking the arrow trending up. USC, it is cross country. I think Michigan's the better team, but we saw last year a lot of these Big Ten teams that had to go all the way across the country. Sometimes squirrely things would happen. And then Ohio State. I know Michigan has the Buckeyes number, but is it going to be every year? I would lean Michigan on the under, maybe a 9-3, even an 8-4. But I think if you're a Wolverine fan, you're excited for Bryce Underwood, and you're maybe a year away. Next year, you're the Florida Gators with DJ Lagway, or you're the South Carolina Gamecocks with Lenora Sellers, and you kind of have the wind in your sail, and you're ready to make some noise.
I think it was very, very funny the way that people were saying, well, we don't know that Sherrone Moore can recruit, and then he goes out and gets Underwood, and then got that 5-star running back. I think they're going to be okay, Jim.
Yeah, and you know what? It's funny. When they got the Underwood commitment late last year, it was right around the time of the Buckeye game, and things started to change in a big way when you beat Ohio State and land the number one recruit at the quarterback position from your own state. Yeah, there's definitely more momentum now than even the first 2 months of last season.
Man, you guys don't lack for things to talk about either with the Tigers as well. Things are going well over there by you.
I love it. What do you guys think? World Series? What would you give my Tigers? AL champs,
they're pennant. They're favored to win the pennant.
We are very excited to see. I think they're in a group of teams. I wouldn't put them head and shoulders above anybody in the American League, but they are giving us a lot to talk about. They're a fun ball club.
Yeah, I mean, it's so wide open. I think you can make that argument in both leagues that it's typical baseball. Just got to get in, and they put themselves in a great position. Obviously, running away with the Central there. Jim Costa, 97.1 The Ticket mornings over there. But make sure you check out the Cash the Ticket podcast as well over on Odyssey. Jim, thank you so much for hopping on the show. Best of luck to you with the Lions, Michigan, Tigers, everything.
Love it. Thanks, guys.
Good stuff. Jim Costa there. I like the insight there as far as what's going to happen. And man, the more we talk about that offensive line, he's right. I understand why it keeps him up at night as a Lions fan.
Still a good Joe team, though, Sandy man. Ping.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Damn good. Coming up next, lightning bets as we wrap things up on this Tuesday. Joe O. Sammy P. Bet Sweats, the BetMGM Network. Joe O. Sammy P. with you, BetMGM Network. I feel like on a daily basis we're complaining about some of the carrier stuff with the streaming networks and all that. And I got an email yesterday afternoon, another one, end of the day. Maybe they're trying to not piss too many people off. It's probably closing business. Maybe didn't want to deal with it in customer service calls. But here's the email. In order to provide you with the best in live sports news and entertainment, YouTube TV enters into partnerships with content providers like Fox. Our current agreement with Fox is approaching its renewal date, and we are in active negotiations to continue carrying their content. Our priority is to reach a deal that's fair for both sides as well as subscribers. The deal's up tomorrow. Basically, this email goes on to say that they're not sure if they're going to have Fox Sports, Fox News, all those Fox channels as
Big
we are
10.
Entering the college football season, entering the NFL season. YouTube TV's like, our deal's up on Wednesday. I don't know if we're going to have that channel for you. What? I'm so sick of this. I really am. I'm so sick of this garbage. And they keep going on with these price increases. I'm just like, do I need to go all the way back? Do I need to? I've been seeing a bunch of stuff on social media and people are just sick and tired of it. Just go back to how everything was. But that's the other difficulty part, because you still have to have the streamers involved even if you do go back to cable.
Whenever we talk about this, I get an email or a DM from somebody that listens to the show that says, hey, just go buy this stick. It's $170. You get all the games. I'm like, I know. I know I could jailbreak it. I know I could do all that. Well, that too. But I don't want 45 and 60 second delays. I want to be relatively close to the action because I'm following a lot of things and I know what I could do if I go down that rabbit hole, but I'm happy to pay for what I want. That's the issue. Yes. And I just got dinged again for YouTube TV at, what was it, $79.99 or is it $89.99 now? I forget. I'm willing to pay.
That's what I'm saying. Like, what's the reason we're there then?
I don't know. And then the worst part about it is in that email that I got as well, because you and I are both YouTube TV guys, and I've been very happy with it for the last handful of years. Yeah. Third paragraph, they give you, we know how frustrating it is to lose channels, which is why it's our goal to keep Fox on YouTube TV. And then in all bold print, we're committed to continuing to work with Fox to reach an agreement, but if their content becomes unavailable, we'll offer you a $10 credit because that'll fix everything. $10.
Get bent.
Yeah. Yeah. Get. Almost said it. Didn't do it. But then you have the Fox side. So Fox yesterday at Fox Sports tweets, football season is coming and YouTube TV customers could be sidelined. don't let YouTube TV cut Fox Sports. Nobody's taking accountability here. I have no idea whose fault it is. I also don't care. Just give me my football. Texas, Ohio State is Saturday. If I can't watch it in my own house, I'm going to be pissed.
So where's Sunday Ticket? Is it still YouTube TV?
I got dinged for it, so I believe so.
This is so stupid. So when do they go to... So Red Zone is ESPN this year or whatever. I don't... I'm so confused. I can't keep up.
About Red Zone. I don't care about Red Zone.
I know.
But
Sunday Ticket is still...
I just paid about $300. They kicked in the payment when I was in that bachelor party in Wisconsin. I came home and I was like, ah, $300 charge, YouTube TV. I'm pretty sure that was Sunday Ticket. Pretty sure.
Okay. I'm sure I paid for it too. I lose track. So yeah, I don't know. I would stay for the Sunday Ticket, but I'm really getting pissed. I'm at the edge. And there are a lot of sports channels that I don't get, right? We don't get MLB Network on YouTube TV, right? That's one of them.
Correct.
Yeah, there's... I'm pulling up my account now. I don't even want to look. It's so annoying. And that's... The other thing is they got you by the balls because they know you don't want to go through the hassle and change everything over, too. And then change your settings. And if you had stuff in your library, you got to do that. And okay, which channels you do get, which ones you don't. You know, it's a pain in your ass. So most people are not going to end up making the move. They just deal with it. But if you lose Fox and Fox Sports and all these games, oh, I'll be pissed. Baseball playoffs too, right? Most of them are on FS1. Most of those rounds. Yeah.
Well, you get some of them now on TBS or TNT, but as we get closer to the big thing at the end, the World Series, it's Fox. We'll see what happens. I hope there's a solution, but as you said, the deal ends tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
And the big games start Saturday. Tick, tick, tick. Tick, tick, tick.
Yeah. I know. Very, very annoying. All right. Joe O, Sammy P, we've got lightning bets for today. Where you going, man? We're at the part of the calendar for me, Sam. I'm looking ahead more so than on the daily basis than today's MLB card because it's going to be impossible to squeeze them all in once we get to this coming Friday and next week with the NFL.
Sure. I'd also tomorrow or maybe Thursday, I'd like to talk about one of our listeners with the $500 free bets, AJ. We don't have time today, but I'd like to do that maybe tomorrow or Thursday. He got a handful of free bets for $500 a pop, and he's asking, what do I do with these? I'd love to answer that tomorrow or Thursday. The only bet I'm going to give today is Georgia Tech Colorado over. This is one of Corby's bets, and he's insinuating that that line is going to go back up. This opened 57. Wise guys came in under. Now it's 52.5. And there's a good chance that by the time we get to Friday and Saturday, the 52.5 is closer to 54. So just because wise guys came under the big numbers doesn't mean it can't go back. I'm going to tail Corby and go over 52.5, Georgia Tech, Colorado.
Okay. Very good. Here's what I'm thinking. That Niners Seahawks number is going north and we're going to get to 3, and I'm going to be mad if we get to 3 or who knows, even if it passes that. So I'm going to lay it right now. I'm going to take San Francisco minus 2.5, week number 1 in the NFL going up against Seattle in a divisional matchup. So I want to do that. We talked about the Lions today. I'm going over 8.5 rushing touchdowns for David Montgomery. A lot of noise about Gibbs. I still think there's going to be enough room for Montgomery to gobble up those touchdowns inside that 10-yard line, 5 to 10-yard line. So over 8.5, yes, I'm going to do that with Montgomery. And I will say Texas Tech plus 450 to make the college football playoff is something that I like as well. All right, let's go to Paul and Jake as well. What do you guys have for today?
I've got a college bet for the weekend. Also placed a couple futures, but I know we're doing futures tomorrow, conference futures, so I'll save those for tomorrow. But sorry, Brian Gerch, but Old Dominion catching 23.5 in the opener at Indiana. ODU's got 11 starters back, including their quarterback, the core of their offensive line. They play up to the competition. Last year, they took South Carolina down to the wire in their opener, number of close losses. And we've talked about the Indiana hype. So, and Cignetti kind of strikes me as a guy that's going to be reading his newspaper clippings all this whole offseason, patting himself on the back after last year's run. So, I just think it's a lot of respect for an Indiana playoff team. So, I'll fade that a little bit with Old Dominion plus 23.5.
All right, Jake Kassan, what do you got today?
So last night was a lot of fun, huh? Having a great one.
Sanchez, yeah, you were just like, this is all, I'm not betting anything, but this is all I want to have happen. And the universe said, no, forget that. Forget that, Jake.
Yeah, not what you want. But we get back on the horse, I guess. Hurston Waldrop goes for the Braves. They're still lining his strikeouts at 4.5. I think that's completely wrong because he's flown over this number in just about every one of his starts. So I will take that against a bad Marlins team, and I'll back the hot pitcher there. 9 and Mackenzie Gore on the road and Luis Gil. Yes, please. I will take that over all day, every day. That is a ridiculous number to me because I want to fade both of those guys. And Jacob Mizorowski's been terrible in his last 5 starts. Mm-hmm. Brandon Faught's actually been decent. I'm going to take the Diamondbacks on the first 5 money line. I'll take a shot.
All right. Thank you, Jake. BetMGM account holders will receive an Any Sport Parlay Boost token. Score a bigger payout if your wager with the Parlay Boost token hits. Tokens can be used on parlays and SGPs. So it sounded like we weren't sure that it was a real story, but apparently it was a real story. Avery Johnson and his dad fighting after the game the other day because an apology was issued?
Wailing on each other outside the stadium in Dublin. Avery Johnson's brother and dad. There was an apology. Paul sent that out. On3 posted it. They released a joint statement in which they said, "Senseless bickering escalated into an unnecessary fight. We have resolved our differences and take full responsibility. Whatever, don't care." They were throwing haymakers at each other.
The old man's strength. Does it look like he still has the old man's strength?
The dad was never going to go down without a fight. He was going to bite some ankles if he had to.
I'm going to take a wild guess. That's not the only time that's happened between them.
Nope. Definitely not.
No doubt about that. For Sam, I'm Joe. This has been Bet Sweats. We'll be back tomorrow, 9 a.m. Eastern time. Check us out as we inch closer and closer. And we've got a big college football card. We'll continue to talk about that right here on the BetMGM Network.